Wrestling Report.
Welcome to the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report. I am the big guy, Ryback, joined by Raj Giri of WrestlingInc.com. Happy Friday, Raj.
Happy Friday to you, too. It's been a chaotic one for me. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm hoping for everybody watching our connection is going to be all right.
Oh, sorry.
I'm hoping our connection is going to be all right. We're playing Russian roulette with this, internet connection I have. So,
yeah. Well, we'll do the best that we can. Hopefully everything goes okay, but hey, so far so good.
Good deal. Yeah. It's a little choppy, but we're going to be redoing this on Wednesday for everyone on the internet. So it shouldn't be an issue moving forward after this week.
Yeah. And just a heads up, there is a little bit of a delay with us. So if there's So no worries though. We'll go with it.
We'll attempt it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So this past week, a lot of positive COVID cases were revealed. Chris Jericho revealed that he had COVID back in September.
Oh, wow.
The timing worked out for him where, because of how the taping schedule was in September, he actually never missed a TV show. So he was on every episode in September. He said he had really mild symptoms or no symptoms at all. A friend of his got it. And then he went, got himself tested and revealed that he was positive. By the time AEW had their next tapings, Jericho went, tested negative, so he was good to go. Also, Nick Jackson of the Young Bucks, at that same time, he got COVID. And he said he had a bad experience, and he was off for several weeks. He said he got hives, was sick, bedridden, and was not himself when he came back. He said it took a while to get back to normal. So two very different stories from, you know, two top AEW guys contracting the virus.
Yeah, and that just shows, I mean, the difference is some people are absolutely fine. And like Chris, I saw where he said he had no symptoms or didn't even know, you know, and then, you know, someone like Nick where it's more, you know, on the opposite end of that. So where I don't know, I would imagine it'd be very difficult if it hits you like that. Wrestling, especially if it's shortness of breath and recovery, you know, that's not a good feeling. I had to wrestle with when I came back from my groin injury and I got like pneumonia, bronchitis, it was bad and I couldn't breathe. And I had to wrestle Cesaro and Cena. Cesaro here in the States, and then we went on a UK tour, and then I had to wrestle Cena on Raw, I believe. And it was when we were doing that whole authority angle, and I could not breathe, and it was the worst. I mean, I was choking just doing my entrance. So I can't even imagine something like that that's supposed to be worse. You know, it's a good thing he wasn't having to wrestle. But even coming back, recovering off of that, just crazy. But it'd be interesting to know, too, how many people have really had it and that it didn't come out at the time or whatnot. And really, if there was no reason, if I guess – the way their TVs, they were weeks ahead or apart from their tapings or whatever. So where it timed out well, you know, for someone like Chris. And plus two, he's doing commentary where he wasn't wrestling maybe as much. I don't know. But I mean, the longer it goes on, the more people are going to get it.
Yep. And it came out this week that Drew McIntyre has it. There have been several cases right now in WWE. Drew McIntyre is one. There was a SmackDown star not named and a couple others. Yeah. Drew McIntyre, apparently he has mild symptoms. He said he didn't really feel much. And yeah, he's scheduled to face Goldberg at the Royal Rumble in a couple of weeks. So if he tests negative by then, he should be good to go. But yeah, another big positive COVID test.
Yeah, no, Drew's a great guy. He takes care of himself. So hopefully he's able to bounce back. You know, and coming back, I don't know. Is a situation too where, and probably with the Goldberg match, that's probably not going to be, you know, if it is anything of a longer match, it's heavily, it's with big bombs, most likely, not your typical style, what I would say, fast paced WWE match.
Right.
So hopefully he has no issues coming back, especially if he has mild symptoms. then he where he's not experiencing the shortness of breath and whatnot. Because that would be that'd be rough to have to come back and perform with that kind of thing. But yeah, no, he's a great guy and known him for a long time, and I have no doubt he's going to bounce back.
Yeah. For people watching us live, and that'll be watching it before Saturday, the Impact Hard to Kill pay-per-view main event was changed today. It was originally supposed to be Rich Swann, Chris Sabin, and Alex Shelley against Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers. Alex Shelley is out, and Moose will be replacing him. So it's now Rich Swann, Moose, and Chris Sabin versus Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers. And it's not known why exactly Alex was removed. Impact co-president Scott D'Amore said, extraordinary circumstances call for extraordinary measures. We got news from Alex that he could not make it he could not travel due to unavoidable circumstances.
Yeah. And I'm sure that situation, that will be more information on that is here. As it always is, exactly what happened, but I think Moose is a great replacement. I like Moose. I've wrestled him before back when I left and back up in Canada, actually, where Santino's school was for this promotion up there. And I had a good time. Even I was really, really hurt, but I mean, he was really easy to work with. And he's a big guy that can go. So that's a good replacement. That's a good matchup for Impact. I'll be curious to see if they get a spike in anything with the crossover.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes, and we'll see where the Impact AEW relationship goes from there. We'll get to the ratings later. Impact ratings are kind of back to where they were before, maybe slightly higher before Kenny Omega started appearing, but not really a big boost now. Ricochet, his WWE contract, there had been some speculation on that. Brian Alvarez had stated on Wrestling Observer Radio that he believed that Ricochet's contract was ending soon. But Dave Meltzer noted in the Wrestling Observer that he actually signed a 5-year deal when he moved to the main roster last year. So his contract is not up until 2024.
Brian Alvarez on the money is, as always, there with his reporting. Jeez, can you be any further off? I mean, that's those guys work together, dude. That's him for you. So, no, if that's Ricochet staying, you know, made the decision. Hopefully, he got a decent money offer. But he's so new up there. I'd really be interested if that was done before COVID, or if it was done after, when that money was being a little bit less offered, because that's a long deal to sign. So, either way, I signing a 5-year deal with anyone, that's unless the money is just absolutely so much can change talent wise. I always, whenever I hear them, like, not to say you can't renegotiate, but if they're paying you way under, why would they? But right. It's because so much can change with, and not necessarily in WWE, but as far as getting over, they're going to use you how. Wherever they put you, they peg you at essentially. And, but man, it could be so much changes every year. And that's a career. So, like 5 years for that, it's shorter. That's longer than the average wrestling career usually on TV. If you figure everybody in with that, you know, you want to make sure you're getting as much as possible. So, hopefully, he did.
Yeah. And I think he did. He signed at a time when, like you mentioned, they were trying to prevent anyone from going to AEW. So they were offering the big money contracts. That has changed. And with people I've spoken to, that the contracts that people are being offered now is much lower. And actually,
really?
A lot of the people coming up from NXT, the main roster, are not given new deals. They're still on their old deals. Retribution, outside of Ali, they recently were got new deals that were $250,000 per year, which is lower than what a lot of the incoming contract offers have been over the past couple of years. But obviously, still, that's your downside. So they could make more.
Yeah, that number's it fluctuated, and it depends on the people too. That's normal. What they usually would do. The formula was if you're in developmental or whatever, usually it was developmental, you know, and the NXT contracts have been adjusted a little bit, I think, probably, I would imagine. But you'd get up there and they would usually, before when you were traveling all the time, they would pay for your hotel and rental car for the first maybe 3 to 6 months to make and so you don't really get an idea of the expenses. And I think we talked about this before. There was always a reason why they did this. And so you really don't understand how much the road expenses are. And then what they will do is they'll offer you a new deal in that period. But a lot of times it was like $150,000 was kind of that first 3 year deal, or 200, maybe it went up to 152, 250, somewhere in that range for guys. And what guys don't realize though, is they go, oh, they look at that money. They go, oh my God, that's more money than I've made doing this. They sign that. And then they start paying for their hotels and rental cars. And that's why you see everybody riding together, is because they can't afford to get their own, because it's so much money on the road when you do that and eating. So that money doesn't go nearly as far. But nowadays, if you're not traveling and then you don't have the rental cars and the hotels 5 nights a week, your road expenses in food every day in airports, it goes down tremendously. So you can get a little more, stretch that money out a little better, but it's still not a lot. Like that's, you can make more than that a lot of regular jobs after you figure everything in at the end of the day, after taxes and
health insurance and everything.
Health insurance, everything. Yeah. You know, shit, I pay almost $500 a month for health insurance.
Is that it? I'm paying like almost more than double that.
Just for you or for your family though?
It's me and my family too.
Yeah, so it's just for me on that. Like, I mean, and that's solid insurance. You can go a little cheaper and stuff, and that's not counting other expenses you have along the way with it. But you know, most people, that's a lot of money, and especially wrestling and stuff. So I would like to see that money go up. Wrestling's the one thing where that's what kind of motivated me to be my own boss, is because even if you get figured into that circle, it's still never what it should be. So those guys, man, they get you early and they get you locked down. But hopefully, like we said, COVID, all this, if once things improve, I hope they, for the wrestlers' sake, renegotiate some of the guys that maybe signed during this period and give them a little bit more. So
how many times did you re-sign where you were with WWE? Obviously there was from when you went up to developmental to the main roster.
Yep.
And then after that, was it a handful of times? Like how often are they having you renegotiate your contract?
Well, I always did 3 year deals. So it was, and then usually, cause there was Nexus as well. And I was on developmental still in Nexus. Mm-hmm. And then I stayed on that one with my injury. They just kept me on that. And where I went into a hole where I owed them like all this money. So when I came back there, they weren't paying me. I was working off the money from being out injured a year and a half. So we redid the contract as Ryback once. And then the two was the one where I walked out and that was for another 3 year deal on that. But there had been, I've signed multiple contracts over the years because of developmental, or the two different stints in developmental. So I think there'd been four or five total in that, but it's maybe four. And then the fifth one is when I turned it down and walked out. So
each time was your downside. Did that increase each time? I know your overall money would probably fluctuated based on where you were on pay-per-view card and merchandise, but the downside went up every time.
Yeah. And then, well, that was where I walked out on. And the initial, what they do is, I told you this before, they put the IC title on me. And then literally that week brought me in to renegotiate my contract. Like I told you, they do things for a reason to something with talents to get them. And then the money was super low actually compared to what I think it was like a $50,000 a year raise from what I was already at. I just, no way, like we're not doing this again. And we went back and forth on figures. And then whatever it was like 450, 550, 650. It ended up being like 1.65 million for 3 years and that. And I wasn't like, that wasn't horrible, but I wanted way more still. And then that was when the they wanted me to sign over everything that I had already trademarked, and that process had begun. And I just go, nope, that's because I knew I was getting it already. And I knew I wanted to do the supplements and the feedmemore.com. And that's where I just said, I'm not, I just quit talking. And I just walked out. So it's, but that money can, it's like I said, you can out earn that.
Right.
I'm very open about it. That's what I wish all talents were open about the pay they got. They, because you could see, like, I mean, I made them a lot of money. That one year that I made 1.something million, my first hot year. And that was when that got scaled back. Even during that, that would have been significantly more if they didn't pull all my merchandise. And then the following year, I actually worked more dates, longer matches, everything. And I made 400-something thousand dollars for the year. And that was where it dropped drastically. And then it stayed. It might have went up a little bit the next couple of years, but like in that range. Wherein I was working way more, and even though I worked a ton that first year, every day I wasn't home. But it's the number is just they can fluctuate based off that. So and what they'll do is they'll always try to pay you close to your downside though. So if I had been on a $750,000 downside, my pay would have magically aligned with that, like throughout the year. That's why. They'll tell talents it's not important. It's the most important thing as a wrestler you can do is get the highest downside possible, because it will push them to use you at a certain level more often than not. Not to say they won't mess with you still and do things, but they're going to get their money out of you, and they're going to have, you're going to get that as a minimum. So,
right. So that year when you were making four something, that's probably not much more than your downside, right? So
yeah, that was, it was close to, it might've been at the time, the downside I'm trying to think was, I'd have to go look at it with that. Cause that first contract, it might've been like 253, 350 was the downside on that. And so it was it was not horribly far off of that, even though the next 2 years it did go up. So I did out earn it. Based off just everything, like with merchandise and whatever action figures, it pushes it over a little bit, but they keep you within that range usually.
So for a wrestler who's currently not, you're not doing live events, and if they're not one of the more push guys, their merchandise, or if they don't even have merchandise, or it's not selling, they're pretty much getting mostly their downside, maybe a little bit of video game money. Is that accurate?
It would all kind of aligns with that. And you'll, not to say, so what happens too is like the guys that out earn it are the guys usually being on on the pay-per-view or the network pay-per-views every month is where you start out earning that. But the problem is if you're not on those, you're not, your money is very, you know, if you don't take the time, the problem is that they got everyone kind of pigeonholed there. Like if you try to negotiate, you're deemed an asshole, or like, and this is crazy. In no other industry this happens, where if you try to like, actually, no, I need this amount, I want this amount, they push you aside if you speak up too soon, and they'll just go, we'll just pluck this guy and put him in because it's all about the brand. Which, from a business standpoint, it's great, right? You've got this system now, but you're treating the people that make that system what it is that way, and it's not good. And it does not allow for making megastars. So,
right. And one more thing to clarify, I think some people get confused by this. The downside means everything. If you, with your merch, pay-per-view, live events, if that ends up being more than your downside, that's what you get. It's not on top of your downside.
Exactly. So what they do is they pay you usually less for those things,
right?
Because all they're obligated to pay you is your downside.
Right.
At the end of the day. And that, even though you have your percentages in there, but it's a really odd thing. You always kind of tend to stay around your downside unless you get like that push. And they don't then, but if you get a push, some of those guys like the Shield came in, they were probably on low money for a while. And then once they realized those were the guys they were going to keep in that circle, they were able, but even then, and I'll tell you this, and I know from experience, and I won't name names, guys that were in the circle though, I've heard, just they've lowballed them bad. And it's a really It's a tough situation. It's like even nobody's actually outside of like Cena was ever treated any different. Now that might change over the years as someone as Roman's there been longer. Now Seth has been there longer. They have a little more say, I would say probably. But even then, it's still never at the level that it was. So
yeah. Speaking of which, we at Wrestling Inc. we had an exclusive earlier this week about Roosh. He's the ROH World Heavyweight Champion, and he was negotiating with WWE about possibly joining there. His contract is either up or it was up last month, and WWE passed. Apparently, they felt that his asking price was too high. They made an offer which apparently was lower than expected, and which is kind of continuing that trend lately of them lowballing both signed and unsigned talent. So, yeah.
And that's the sort of thing where, and then like the portion of the toxic wrestling community, what happens is people will deem it, oh, that guy's an asshole, or he's asking, how dare he ask for, and I guarantee you he's not asking probably for anything that he's not worth.
Right.
It's just, they do this. Vince and the Vince is a billionaire. They are making more money than ever.
Right.
It's really, it puts talent, you know, in a really tough position. You know, like, what do you do? And a guy like that, luckily there's other options out there now and mm-hmm. other in wrestling companies. But the whole WWE thing is, oh, we're giving you an opportunity. The thing is everyone now with people speaking out, you know what that system is more than anybody in the past ever did. And you can make a little bit more educated decisions, but you know, look at the Young Bucks and Kenny. If they would have, man, where would wrestling be right now if those guys all signed with WWE?
Right.
And I heard the money for that, and that was not like a crazy amount of money. It was mm-hmm. more maybe than they made maybe for just bookings, but not maybe merchandise-wise overall. Like, where would – I guarantee you they're making way more money now.
Right.
And guaranteed. So it's – what can look good on paper – now there's other options, and not to say everyone's always going to have that choice, but it's a cool thing that's happened in wrestling. And there's, you know, Impact 2 and Impact of those guys. There's Gallows and Anderson had to have gotten a pretty penny to turn down, not to go to AEW. There's some money out there now, whereas right. that maybe wasn't the case before.
Yeah. Dave Langer in the chat pointing out, imagine WWE making the most money it ever has last year, and they are lowballing all their wrestlers. And they're going to be reporting their financials for 2020 in the beginning of February, and I'm sure their profits are going to be insane.
And, you know, Vince is great at it. He's a great businessman. There's never any denying that. The problem is you've done a lot of bad to human beings, and every wrestler, from that time I put out that pay blog – and on raising a question on pay in wrestling and equal pay and saying equal pay, it's not saying equal pay for everybody, but more equal pay across the board mm-hmm. for the efforts of the talent where, you know, everybody that works there, you have a good run there, you should be set for a long, long time. And we've seen that's not the case, mm-hmm. like with almost everybody. So, and then this guy, and they're hoarding all this money and as well as opportunities. It's a really, really frustrating thing. And I will say, and I told you last week, I've had talent reach out from there and say they feel their social media is being suppressed by the company as well while they're there. And I think they do it across the board to a lot of talents once they leave. And they do it. It's all part of Vince's strategy of keeping guys down so they need – they're reliant on WWE for a payday. And he is brilliant in that, but he's also – it's one of the most evil things you could do. And you look at guys that leave there too, Raj, and look at their social media, like on Twitter and things, and they can't, I mean, they get no traction, like none. And you have to say, like, how are they not at least being seen? It's a very odd thing. Like, whereas if you have other people that have been on TV in the past, they have a following and people will stay with them. It's not the case with a lot of people that leave WWE. And I always found that very odd. Whereas then we're regular people that don't even hustle online are seen more. And they go, that's what's really going on. I'm telling you, I think a lot of stuff is going to come out on Vince at some point. And it has already, but I think really, really significant things as time goes on because of this business strategy he's created. And it's not making up. And it's significant on what they do. They want people to be reliant on them for a payday, which is why you see people always going back.
Yeah. So with that, when you say that suppress, do you mean just they're not, if you click on your home screen on Twitter, you're just not seeing their tweets as much?
Yeah. What I mean exactly by that is, so WWE works with Twitter, with Facebook, Instagram, with TikTok, which I got that unlocked. I was lucky enough on that, which is why I already talked to enough people. What they do is they work with these companies, and these companies, they call it shadow banning, but there's different levels. So these companies, and from the information I've been told and with the people I have trying to help me with this, they police themselves in there. So it's a really, really tough thing. But what they can do is there's different levels. So what they do, and everything is computerized and algorithms, what they can do is they simply, you got 1.5 million followers. What they'll do is only 0.5% of that is going to even see what this guy posts. And they can arrange only 5% is going to see what that guy posts. They are able to go in there and do this, and they do it with people, and they have different tiers on all of this. And it's just so, that is when I say it's not actually WWE actually doing it. It's WWE working with them. They work with these companies hand in hand. Big money sleeps with big money. And it's just, they have a list, and those accounts get suppressed. And it's a very real thing going on. And it's not crazy talk. It's not conspiracy talk. It is a legit thing going on. And I've had people reach out and they go, on certain platforms. They do it in Twitter and Instagram are their two big ones. Twitter is their main one they like to control, because that one is where people are able to spread their voice the quickest. And so that is why WWE tried to get talent and they got hooked into their accounts. And that's why they wanted me to sign over my accounts. It's a very real problem going on that needs to be discussed more. And the unfortunate problem is it's very difficult to, well, how do you prove it? Well, the only way you can prove it is with talents going to other platforms and doing well and doing really well. Like my TikTok, I've gotten millions of views and hundreds of thousands of views. And then on those same exact posts, we'll get 25 likes on Twitter and only seen by 0.03%. But that other, where they get millions on. So how do you explain being seen on certain things and then not on others? It's not that it's even close. I mean, we're on two opposite ends of the spectrum of being seen and not being seen. And I believe in what people have reached out in DMs and go, we have no doubt. When I started putting out stuff, they go, we think it's happening to our accounts too, while they're under contract there. And I'm not naming names. I'm not doing that to them. But it's a very real issue going on.
So you used to be verified, and then you became unverified when you changed your profile name?
So that had nothing to do with, as far as the losing the verification. That was just simply from updating the name. The problem is I've sent, for this whole thing with the account with Twitter, I've messaged them for 4.5 years. They've not replied one time on any of this. And so they're supposedly, though, now going to be verifying accounts on January 20th once again, coming up. So I'm going to see what happens with that, as far as if they re-verify the account or not. But it dropped when I changed it from Ryback 22 to Ryback, and I wasn't aware that was going to happen. And it is what it is. So though that wasn't connected to it, as far as the verification, that wasn't like, as far as I know, that's standard. If you change your name, it falls off. So,
yeah. Speaking of the social media, CRO agency Love UK, they had some stats this past week. They were looking at the biggest celebrity Instagram accounts, and they estimated that last year in 2020 that Lana was estimated at making $626,000 from 59 Instagram accounts, Instagram ads rather. Sorry. While Mandy Rose made $490,000 from 71. And, you know, Lana was doing the Bang energy drinks and ads and things like that. And then since WWE stopped the third party, they issued that edict last fall, that stopped, and they had to deleted their old Instagram posts with the ads. So that's a big chunk of money that this edict is costing them.
Yeah. And I don't know as far as if how accurate those numbers are. Yeah. I would say, though, they're still making money off of it, no doubt. Yeah. And a lot of those, and that's just from things I've seen with paid advertisements on followings. But Lana, definitely the women, I mean, it definitely impacts the most with that, because the sex sells on social media. Those companies love using the women on things. So yeah, that no doubt. Even to say that's half of that, that's a lot of money.
Right. Moving on with Impact Wrestling, the Rascals, formerly of Impact, made their debuts on WWE NXT this past week. They are now known as Wes Lee, that's two words, and Nash Carter. They used to be Desmond Xavier and Zachary Wentz. So, yeah, former Impact talent now there. Ethan Page, his contract is up with Impact, and there have been some others, Jake Crist. So, a lot of moving parts right now.
No, good deal. As long as they're happy, man. And I'm always for wrestlers and opportunities for wrestlers. And I want everyone to make as much money as possible doing this. So,
yeah. One thing that's gotten a lot of buzz online is Jay White, New Japan Pro Wrestling star. There's been a lot of speculation about his future following his loss to Kota Ibushi in the main event of day two of Wrestle Kingdom 15. There were rumors that WWE was interested in signing him, but it kind of appears like this is just an angle. Jay White reportedly had signed a long-term deal a couple years ago. So it appears like it's just an angle and Jay White's staying put.
Good deal. Yeah. No, if he's happy. And like I said, and there's a lot of places to make money right now and to wrestle and to do pro wrestling. So it's unlike, and I think with social media and everything, and I've told you before, with guys, you don't even have to wrestle technically with, and again, it maybe depends on name value and how active you are on social media, but you know, it's like, I look at this and when crowds are back, it's one of those situations where, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, I'm in a position now where I don't have to necessarily go back to TV. Do I want to? Yes. But I could also just take bookings and go across, travel across the world and use my footage on my own YouTube channel and continue to make even more money on top of booking money with that and not commit to anybody. And that's not to say that at some point you don't, but there, like, that's an opportunity that if other talent want to do that and strictly use their footage on their own social media channels, they'll make the advertising revenue from that on top of their booking money and merchandise money, where I think you can now truly be an independent contractor at a whole other level. If you don't want to necessarily sign a contract. And it, again, I have that luxury now with having Feed Me More Nutrition money and being able to earn a living outside of wrestling where I go, wait a second, I have some options here. And I think other talent are going to have options, which is why I think it's so important to get your social media set if you are under contract so that if you do want to go that route, that is an option. And I do think as time goes on, we're going to see that a lot more.
Yeah. Seems like one big piece of advice for talent would be to use your real names on social media and not the gimmick names.
If you don't own it. Yeah. Yeah. I think it establish an identity either way. And again, though, so here's the issue with that though, Raj, like in WWE is petty like this. They see you doing good and using your real name. They'll screw you over in other ways too. Mm-hmm. Like it really, it's
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
It's a really, as far as that, I only can speak for that company because I've seen it. But I do think that is good advice. I do think that is something you need to do. And I would say, I think talent need to be more vocal on their trademarks if they created a name, not signing them over to WWE. But at the same time, what do you think is going to happen if Keith Lee that's his real name, right?
Yeah.
Their gimmick name. Or say either way, say it was his gimmick name and they went to trademark it and where he, or say he trademarked it before he went there, there's probably a good chance they'd make him change his name. And or they won't use you, or they'll just, you're difficult to work with. And then they put out false things online to the toxic wrestling community that literally I call them the dirt sheet sluts, or dirt sheet hoes, whatever you want to call it. Everyone's just kind of in bed together, just sharing everything. And it's just like, whether it's true or not. And then, oh, he has a bad attitude. And that goes on all the time, and it's manipulation, and it's old school carny tricks. So,
and we don't do that at Wrestling Inc. Just to
Raj, I don't have you included in the dirt sheet hose. I wouldn't be doing the show with you.
Some cool news this week. The Dark Side of the Ring, which is, I think, an outstanding series. The season 3 premiere will focus on the life and career of the late Brian Pillman. And Steve Austin will appear on the episode. I don't know if he's just being interviewed or if he'll be moderating it. Chris Jericho had moderated, I believe, a couple of episodes last season, at least one. So, yeah, Dark Side of the Ring, Brian Pillman with Steve Austin featured.
I think that's going to be a must-watch episode. And it's really cool seeing, too, everything with Brian Pillman Jr. kind of coming up and being used more with AEW. And I'm happy that the story is going to – I think they'll do a really good job with that. And they're getting, Austin for that. They're going all out, so.
Yeah. Oh, it should be a good one. Right now, it looks like WrestleMania 37. The date is, we had mentioned before that it's not set in stone. It was originally planned for March 27th. Now it looks like it'll be taking place on April 11th. That's the date they have penciled in, so moving it 2 weeks. People are starting to get vaccinated. My wife just had, she's a physical therapist. She just got her first dose of the vaccine. Joe Biden, President-elect Joe Biden has said he plans to have 100 vaccinations out in his first 100 days. Obviously, that's a third of the country. So you can start getting a lot of people back in and this, even more of the country if you don't include children, because they wouldn't be getting it anyway yet. So WrestleMania 37 looking like April 11th as of now.
I think that's a good business decision. I would have even pushed it back. If they could have pushed it back another month, it would have been. But obviously, they're getting probably some estimates from. I would imagine they have people giving them time frames on everything with all of this.
Right.
And because they want this in front of a crowd, as do all of us. And I want it more than ever, especially with everything going on personally. But hopefully, if the vaccinations, like we said, are the key to all of this. Getting them out to the hot spots that are the most affected areas and getting things under control, in California, New York, and wherever, whether that's here. I don't know what I know it's gone up supposedly, but getting these out and allowing, like we said, getting back to some sense of normalcy, because it's here we are, 2021. We're mid halfway in January. But we're moving. It's not like these are out now. So it's just now as far as getting them out at an efficient level. And I'm flying. I go to Colombia here next month, early next month. I got to go do a COVID test 3 days before. And I got to do one while I'm there coming back as well, precautionary wise, as far as all that. So,
yeah.
But I mean, I think all of us at this point just want to get back to going, living life. And, so it's not like we're sitting here talking, though, and we're hoping the vaccination's going to be out and we're months out. Now we're okay.
Yeah.
Progress is being made.
Do you think they should just say WrestleMania this year is in June? And we'll be, that gives it enough time, it seems like, and you could kind of be safe with that date, more or less.
When you say April, that's right around the corner still, the way time flies.
Time flies during this stretch.
Yeah. And it's, I'm just based off what I know, I would think if they're pushing it back only 2 weeks, Vince is getting some sort of estimate from somebody with his connections that's going to be a safe date to run in front of a full crowd. Otherwise, I would think he would push it back further. Because I mean, he's figured in on he's a figured in man. So, but who knows? I agree with you. I even think March, April, May, I think even saying May 1st, it gives you a little bit of breathing room with it, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Cause even after people are vaccinated, you have to wait a few weeks before, it's fully kicked in. So
the numbers aren't just going to drastically drop down. Like it's going to take time.
Yeah. This, I mean,
especially
I think
with the slow rollout.
Yeah, we saw the numbers drop a lot in the summer. So the hope is that with the weather change combined with the vaccinations, that we'll be close to getting the virus down, to where, we reach herd immunity sooner rather than later, hopefully. But
yeah,
we'll see.
No, and but we're also going to have more people, hopefully. And again, I think everyone's living for the most part outside of people taking precautions, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, we will see, hopefully, you know, if all the restaurants are open, what we'll see is though there'll be more people out and about in every area, you know. Right. And I think there's going to be a surge when they, too, when after all this is over. So that's why I'm hoping the rollout is for whoever the people are that want the vaccinations, get them.
Yeah.
And they work. But because I've heard there's been a slow rollout with all of that. And because, like you said, there is going to be a time period with this. So.
Right. Before we get to the ratings, maybe I should just ask you this every week, because I think like a quarter of the chats are about you returning to wrestling.
Yes.
Oscar Molina asking for
the fucking Royal Rumble. I can tell you guys that. I've been saying this for five fucking years. I'm not coming back to WWE. Like, but thank you. Go ahead, Raj, continue. I just wanted to make sure that I'm getting a lot of Royal Rumble. I wake up, I'll have hundreds of DMs. Don't get me wrong. I'm blessed. I love it.
Yeah.
As much as people see any of the negativity, there's so much love. And I love that people care. And every year, so you're going to be in the Royal Rumble, you're going to be in the Royal Rumble. Like, first of all, guys, even if I was going back to WWE with what I've gone through, I would not go back to an empty arena, to the Thunderdome. I would not. What I have gone through, I deserve a full crowd. And I owe myself that. I love myself and I have enough respect for myself. With what I've overcome of needing a 5-disc fusion and shoulder replacement, and this never in the history of athletes being done before, which I don't care how people believe or not believe, this is, I am going to come back to a full crowd. So that is just established that I'm not working you. I'm not lying. I'm not going to show up. I'm not going to be number 27. I'm not going to be number 30. I'm not going back to WWE.
So that narrows it down. AEW, New Japan, Impact, and ROH.
We'll see what the opportunities are once I get the final stem cells and then I'm back. I'm moving. I told you we're in the process, got the house up and listed. We're going to see if we get what we want for it. And then I will go from there. Like we said, I'm anticipating there's not going to be crowds until the summer, most likely.
Right.
And even if it's in April, I'm looking probably just timeline of all this, of the stem cells, and I feel great now, but they really, really, these are going to push me back to, like, this is going to be really good. It's going to be probably summer, second half of 2021. Like, it could be the last day of 2021, Raj. I don't care. At this point in time, just the fact I'm still young, I feel better than I have. Like, I've not aged. I feel better now than I have the last 5 years.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure it's the right situation.
So physically, and we've discussed this before, but physically, once you've had all the stem cells, what do you think is the earliest you'd be able to get back in the ring? So you're probably this summer then, the latter part of summer?
A lot of this is going to depend on conversations I have and me getting back in the ring. And that I'm not worried about. Like, I've trained and I'm in condition. Like, you could tell me I have to go work a 15-minute match next week, I could go do it. Like, I'm not even – it's a matter of – it's – lining up in business wise. And this is, you know, at this stage of the game in life, it is all business. And I love pro wrestling. And I've been very vocal, though, I think, on one company, that being AEW, that I think is the future of pro wrestling. I walked away from millions of dollars in the top spot in the biggest company in the world to get my health back. I've been nothing but honest. I've spoken up from wrestlers for day one. There's been a lot of hate and a lot of negativity. There's been a lot of lies. I have held ground. I've grown. I've literally learned to make more money with business than with wrestling, which is almost unheard of, especially with everything that's gone on and the amount of lies and BS. Yeah. I'm going to go back to a good situation. And there's no attitude issues. There's no – everyone that knows me, I get along with. And it's completely – and then there's a portion. And no matter what you do in life, there's people that love you and people that hate you. And I've – no matter what, have been able to keep attention without even trying this last 4.5 years with people. But if you look, it's people either massively love me and support me, or they massively hate me. And it's typically the same group that hates me. And it's that dirt sheet community that read the lies, and that's all they see. They fail to look at anything positive, which is 99% of the content pushed out, and educational on health and fitness and mindset. So I'm looking back to going back to a good opportunity. And like I said, for whatever reason, say there was no opportunities in pro wrestling for Ryback in 2021, there will be the opportunity of continuing to work for myself and to go on the independents and wrestle main event matches on the independents against the best talent in the world out there and have that footage for my Ryback TV channel. And I will make more money than ever doing that as well. So again, though, I would like to go back to TV. I have a lot of goals in wrestling. I would like to go back to I would like to have a more positive experience. And I did have a positive experience with WWE with the talent. I got along with everyone. I love all the wrestlers and the divas. But I think a more team-oriented, positive environment would be something would be very welcomed by me. Like building pro wrestling for the future and for future wrestlers that get into it so that they don't have to go through what a lot of we went through and what our heroes and the people that have died young for us went through. That's where I think a lot of people don't understand. I'm very respectful of the business and I have a lot of love for all the talent that came before us and everything they've done that because they got mistreated at a whole other level, mainly by Vince with all of this. And we're seeing a change. And that is where the only way you have change is by speaking up. And with that, you get a lot of love and you get a lot of hate. Luckily, I've always had thick skin. Nothing bothers me because I have my goals and I know how to do the work to get to my goals. But speaking up has been key in all of it. And so that's where I think it's just, unfortunately, there's some people online, they're very selective of what they want to see. And if you think I'm this big, evil, horrible, big, dumb, evil wrestler, you're going to find a reason to believe that online. And likewise, if you take the chance to just sit back and listen and get to know and actually look at the history and the things, you'll be like, I like this guy. Maybe you don't, but I've always stayed true and I've always spoken honestly. And the reason why I did that, and this is why I started my business, and this is what pushed me to learn about business, is because I saw the way that the wrestling world was in WWE. And I'm grateful for the experience because it pushed me to this. And I really, truly believe it's playing a part for the future, for change. And you do that by speaking up. And I'm healthy enough now. Now I can continue speaking up while doing the work in my profession that I love very much. So,
yeah. Well, I think couldn't be much more clearer than that. So
yeah.
I'm sure we'll still get that every week.
And I do want to say, too, I wish again, I'm in such a good, happy place to Jim Cornette. I want to wish Jim Cornette, I want to send him a big hug and nothing but love. And he likes to take jabs and he's said a lot of lies over the years, but he can't hurt me. And I look forward to getting back into the business. And I think I speak for everyone where I don't think anyone welcomes Jim into the business. And I don't think he'll ever be a part of it moving forward. I think he has some good takes on things. But it's really unfortunate that I feel he truly has a lot of evil and hurt and pain in his heart. And, you know, he came up to me and shook my hand years ago before he started spouting off all the negative stuff. So I don't really know what his personal deal is, but I want to send him love. And I always encourage my followers to not talk trash to people. And if I see you talking trash to people, even in my defense, I'll block you. I just don't agree with it. So. Unlike his people, but yeah, get that out of the way.
Wow. All right. all right. Well, so finally the ratings, this is, both NXT, AEW. Again, the news is really affecting, them for whatever reason. It seems like everything seems to happen on a Wednesday. The U.S. Capitol was under siege last week. It was on a Wednesday. This past week, President Trump impeached for a second time. This is going to sound weird to say, but the last time President Trump was impeached, also on a Wednesday, and that day, AEW did one of their lowest ratings in history. That was the only time NXT actually beat AEW in both viewers and the demo. And this past Wednesday, Dynamite actually beat NXT by a pretty wide margin. Dynamite did 762,000 viewers. They were up 15% from last week, and NXT did 551,000 viewers, down 14% from last week. Basically, what happened is the total combined viewership was about the same as last week, which was another news-heavy week. Just NXT had a loaded show last week, so more of those wrestling fans watched NXT. This week, they switched to AEW. So viewership, total combined, about the same, but Dynamite with the big win this week.
Yeah, and again, I want to see these numbers coming up. especially with them. I feel like Wednesday nights are the best night of wrestling during the week. I say wrestling, I'm just saying overall, not saying actually in-ring wrestling. I'm just saying overall, like I'm heavily invested in one company on what they're doing. But I want to see both shows growing far more than what they have. Again, pandemic, virus, no crowds. AEW has people there now, but nowhere, nothing like having a full packed house arena. So we're not really getting our true gauge on anything. But these numbers have been stuck in this now. I mean, from the moment we started all this, the Wednesday Night Wars, whatever you want to call it, with AEW and NXT, the numbers started off and then they've come down and they've kind of hovered around this ballpark area. And I really would like to see AEW make a push to get back that initial audience. I would love to see them get to the mid ones, 1.4, 1.5 consistently, and grow that even more. You know, I do believe wrestling can get back into the threes and fours with the ratings. If they just have to look at, and I'm a firm believer in this, if wrestling goes back to making megastars, the ratings will go up.
Right.
The only way. People don't tune in to watch, and I say this, when I say fake fighting, I say that in the context, it's very real, the physicality and the pain and the emotions that we feel. I use the word fake like a lot of guys because it's scripted physical entertainment. But to get people outside of the bubble, right? And I grew up watching it, understanding it, and suspending my disbelief. We have to get regular people that have so many other options to want to see larger than life superstars, people that are rich. People are drawn to people that are rich.
All right.
People are, because it's something, it's eluded so many people. It's basic human psychology. And that was one of the great things about watching superstars go on the rise in pro wrestling for fans. And I'm speaking from experience. I used to love seeing a new guy debut and knowing that guy probably didn't have a lot, just understand and watching him. Like The Rock's the perfect example. And it's true. And you go back and hear the amount of, he had nothing. And you see this guy start to dress a little nicer. And that's what I see with AEW. We got a big group of independent guys that probably were living in apartments, not making a lot of money. Now we're starting to see them starting to have a little bit of money. Ricky Stark's a great example, starting to dress a little nicer, starting to get a little cocky, all in character, yes, right? But we're seeing a growth and a progression with people that are starting to get wealth. And low wealth probably still, but starting to get wealth and growing. That people are drawn to that. Yeah. And you need to, if you're going to watch, and I say it again because it's understood by the masses, fake fighting, you want to see these larger than life personas.
Right.
That's why social media is important. And people will tune into the fake fighting to watch the people. And the brands, and they have to be, this is where WWE went wrong in AEW. The brand is the brand. We get it. But you got to allow the talent to be as big as possible. And if it's bigger than the brand, so be it.
Yes.
You have to allow it though. And that is in rating. I promise you, Raj, ratings will go up.
Yeah,
I promise.
Absolutely. I mean, stepping back from what I do, just watching it as a viewer, that has been the biggest lack in the business since the Austin and The Rock left, and to an extent Cena. So they need to get back to doing that. Absolutely.
And you want to know what the draw too with that is, and not say everyone's going to get to that, right? But so you got your five-star wrestlers, right? That can do every move in the book, right? And whether they're psychology or not, but say you got the guys that are really loved in that wrestling bubble, right? Man, how invested would you be to watch The Rock wrestle Kenny Omega?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Because you'd want to see what would The Rock, how would that do? What would go down? Or name any person that has you, but you mix and match. This is what makes wrestling great, is you have different wrestlers, different characters. And this is why wrestling, there's a lot of focus on how many moves do you do?
Right.
Right. It's not that, how good can you talk? What kind of promo can you cut? You want to put these guys with it's different superpowers, right? And some guys have a little bit of everything. Some guys are a little more stacked in other areas. Some guys are maybe just strictly bell-to-bell guys. Great. Man, that's great. Let that bell-to-bell guy get his ass chewed out for 3 weeks on promos.
Right.
And then we're going to get into the ring. Now we're going to put him in his element with the talker. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what makes pro wrestling great. You can't just say we're all just bell-to-bell. It doesn't work. It never has. It never will.
You see that with
it? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, we saw WCW when they were doing those huge ratings. So they had guys, they had their bell to bell guys, and they weren't the most over guys on the show. They weren't pushed necessarily like that either. But you give people a little something, a little bit of everything. And that's right. Where I see AEW, I feel, can have the advantage to guys that understand that. We'll be able to go out and do that, and we'll have success there. Yeah. And I think, though, it's, again, it's just, it's marketing, it's social media, and it's a group effort to get the masses back from. And I say this, all wrestlers should want as much people watching wrestling as possible, because your legacy will be greater, the money will be greater, you'll have more opportunities outside of it. The more people that watch wrestling outside of the bubble, the more opportunities there will be for every wrestler. And I want every wrestler to have as many opportunities, because it's been held back for so long from so many. And we have to look at the past and all these people that sacrificed their lives and have died young. And, man, let's make this as great as possible. And it's not shitting on each other wrestlers. Like, it's literally everybody understanding, like, okay, what can we do, you know, to make this good? I see people, they shit on Bret Hart, man, for how Bret, man, the guy is so fucking good. Mm-hmm. That guy, in like, but it's not, there's no one magic formula. You know, Hulk Hogan is an amazing wrestler and worker. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time. He knew how to go out there and do other things. Mm-hmm. He knew how to draw money. He knew how to work like a 300-pound monster and be the Hulk, right? Mm-hmm. You have to respect that. And whether the toxic fan base does or not, we as wrestlers have to respect the different styles and what everybody brings to the table, and that we can all make more money together in all of this at the end of the day. And we can't take things personally. You got to let people talk. You know, another thing I think in wrestling, to me, that makes it appealing is letting guys go out there and have added promos. Mm-hmm. I thought about this the other day, and I want to ask you your opinion. Before, with wrestling, and again, I get it, if you're a certain level star, you need to protect and you have a business and money. But say you just want to see who's going to be your biggest star. Man, I would start having guys go out there in segments, and I wouldn't announce it as this. I wouldn't, don't expose the business. But man, if I was AEW, I'd have every week a segment where you just let two guys go out there and free ball it.
Yeah.
Because what's going to happen with that is you're going to get people tuning in to see real in a scripted show. And what will happen is you will create your next big star doing that by saying, let's go out there and give the guys 10 minutes. You guys, as long as keep within the guidelines of TV, no cussing, this and that, have at it. Let's see who are the true quick-witted, you know, thinkers out there who have game. And then you can always structure it off of that after. But I think that's a cool segment every week, whether it's just like, just let two guys go out there and get it off. I'll go out on a limb here, Raj. If a wrestling company did that, if AEW did that and let two guys every week just go out and don't, however they set it up, I would bet it would be the highest rated segment of the show every week.
Yeah. I mean, I know if all my friends, if I told them, hey guys, there's this great 45-minute wrestling match with, you know, a bunch of great false finishes and you got to watch it, no one's going to watch it. But if I say there's this great, hilarious segment or a super crazy segment, they'll watch, you know, they're more
likely. Anything goes. It's not scripted. They let them just go out and say whatever they want.
Yeah.
Holy hell. To me, man, I think the wrestling community would be buzzing, and you're going to get people that tune in to watch people roast each other.
Right.
It's the truth. Exactly. And it's not like, have at, man. And wrestlers have thick skin. You get smoked out there 1 week, so be it. It'll push you to be better at your promos.
Yeah. It's almost like a rap.
A rap battle without the rap. And if a guy wants to flow, let him flow. Like, well, who the hell can go out there and just let loose? Go have at it, and within the context of pro wrestling, and have respect to let each other talk and go back and forth. And let's see who our next big promo is. Right. Let's see the guys that have been confined to the written promos. Let's see who truly has the creative brain to thrive. And then we could guide it along if we know, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think just a segment every week with that, man, I would tune in, and whether that's WWE, hell, I'm telling you, it'll be the highest rated segment in wrestling every week because it's real.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's it. That's all I got to offer. It's my contribution to the wrestling business.
All right. So finally, Impact viewership, 161,000 viewers. That's kind of, that's what their average was in viewers last year. So again, kind of some of the buzz with Kenny Omega is worn off, but it was up from last week, which did 148,000 viewers. Show did a 0.05. Now that's a 0.05, not a 0.5, 0.05 rating in the 18 to 49 demo. So, and in that demo, it ranked, I believe it was 126 on the cable top 150 for that demo that night. Raw with Triple H's return to the ring, they did an average of 1.819 million viewers, which is down 14.5% from last week. But last week was the Legends Night special. And last week, they didn't have the competition from the College Football Championship, which took a huge chunk out of viewership. So Triple H helped the rating. Otherwise, they probably would have done one of their lowest ratings of the year, as that opening did over 2 million viewers, did 2.024 million viewers. And then it fell to 1.8 in second hour, 1.6 in third hour. So that's a big drop, 2 to 1.6 from hour one to hour three.
Big drop. And again, it's everyone's struggling though on this, you know, the energy wrestling needs energy. And that's why I think Raw has taken the biggest hit. That used to be the highest energy live show, which is why I think it's taken the biggest hit. And they've had a lot of issues talent wise and new talent that have debuted with no crowd. They've not done a good job, and this isn't overall my opinion, WWE has not done a good job of creating new stars. Mm-hmm. And it's really tough, and we've talked about that, and part of the problem is by limiting the current stars and not allowing anybody to get too over, it makes it even more difficult to make new stars. It just gets less and less and less and less over time, and that's what we've seen. That Hogan dust gets diluted. Yeah. You know, say the Hogan dust is the cream of the crop dust. It kind of just is gone down from that because they haven't allowed anybody else to kind of add to the dust. It is what it is. So,
And there's been so many extenuating circumstances like this Wednesday. Again, you know, we talked about the news the past 2 weeks for AEW and NXT. This Wednesday, we're going to have the inauguration, and there's going to be an inauguration special during primetime with performances and things like that. So that's going to be competing with AEW and NXT. I'm sure they'll both be down again. Hopefully they can rebound with 3 weeks of, you know, kind of lower ratings, but, and they should be able to, but
that's if it goes good too. The inauguration. Hopefully, everything goes smoothly.
Absolutely. Hopefully, there's no news coming out of that.
Yeah, if there's news with any, then they're definitely taking a hit. So
right.
Let's hope for the best.
Yeah. And then finally, last week, SmackDown 2.1 million viewers up from the week before, which was up against a big college game. Kind of on the lower end of what they've been doing. A 0.56 in the 18 to 49 demo. But still, considering they were still dealing with that news, it's just weird that the other shows that night, the SmackDown's usually number one in the demo, and that wasn't the case this week. It was number six. So, kind of a weird one, because that's one of the things SmackDown had always had going for it, is even though the viewership is lower than the other shows, they're top in the 18 to 49 demo, but that didn't happen this week.
No. And again, I think that is the with the Roman stuff, and we've got Big E over there. There's some more interesting things going on over there storyline wise, and that's kept that afloat a little bit better than Raw. And again, being on Fox definitely has contributed to that as well. So it's just, we'll see what happens. I think April, May-ish, if we get crowds back, I do think we see a bump in the numbers. How high that is to be determined. So
yeah. All right. Well, that about does it for this week. We had been doing under an hour for a little bit there, but this week we went a little over.
Yeah, this is fun. I like not knowing what you're going to throw at me either, Raj.
It's maybe we could keep this format instead.
Keeps me on my toes a little more. You never know what you're going to get. But right. No, thank you as always. And anything to plug to wrap up?
Keep checking out WrestlingInc.com. We have tons of exclusive interviews. We just recently, this week, we had Candice Michelle on, who discussed why she wasn't on Raw Legends Night as she was advertised, and a bunch of others. So keep checking out WrestlingInc.com.
Good deal, Rush. Thank you as always. And guys, Feed Me More Nutrition on FeedMeMore.com. Save 20% with discount code January20. We also are giving away free masks and beanies while supplies last. So get your orders in when you can. Thank you very much for listening. You've just listened to the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report. Feed me more. Awesome.
All right, man. Well, thanks.